That's where my mind has been. That's where I've been talking about, but I've been slowly doing it. So I'm going to try to rush what's been taking me a couple days, cram it in the next 45, which is going to lead to some questions probably, and hopefully next time we break it open again. Okay? So I'm going to ask you guys to grab some scriptures also for me. But before I even get in, I want to read one thing real quick. 1 John 1:12. I think I'm at 1:12. And I just want to read it for you. It said, "But as many has received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So I wanted to throw that out there first because I want us to understand that when we talk about prayer, it's exclusive to us as believers, if I can start off that way, right? So, and that's what I want us to understand, because God talks about family a lot. And he does that to help us understand how he wants this relationship to work. So, and this right here, this little piece of scripture, he's just saying that those who come to him, he says, those he give power to become sons. Meaning, that's to the sense of that we're born again. You know, when we get saved, you hear that term, we're born again. So it's like, so whatever you were, which was separated from God, right, outside of God, once you profess Jesus Christ, they say we're born again. Now we're children of God. So that's the first thing I wanted to start off with, that for us to understand that, because you'll have friends that say, yeah, I prayed about it. And me, I start looking at people funny now. Because it's like you saying, you ever had somebody say, oh yeah, I'll hook you up, or I'll pay for that, and you know they ain't got it? I don't know about you, but you know, you had somebody say, you know, I'll cover that, whatever you get, and I'll cover it. You know doggone well that they can't do it. Or they say, just be outside, I'll pick you up. And you go right away to plan B, because it's no way. They're not going to show up. They're not going to be there. So I'm just putting me out there. But this is how I look at some people that say, yeah, I prayed about it. And in my head, I'm going, okay, who did you pray to? Mm-hmm. And on what authority did you pray? How are you praying? You understand? So I don't want to deal into that, but I want to bring that up first, because I want to say that you're going to have people that you come across, and they're not going to understand, or you're going to shock people when you say, you know what, God is not going to hear everybody's prayer. Right here he's saying that you become a child of God, you get empowered to be a son of God. It's just like your own children. And I use this analogy a lot, and I'm going to do it again throughout this little conversation, that I know my child. I know my child's voice. My child knows my voice. So when my child has a request, an issue, I got an ear leaning towards them already. I hear them. When they're outside and they can call daddy, I know it's me. But the rest of them rugrats. But when they come to my doorstep with my child, and come in my house with my child, and my child says, "Dad, this is my friend so-and-so. Can they come in with us and eat?" Based on my child's request, I say, yes. And so I give that child power, my power, pass on to them to become my child. You understand? That's just the scripture in a nutshell. So now that child is treated like they're my child. Amen. Because they're in my house and they came in with my child. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what the Bible means, that once we accept Jesus Christ, we're born again. Because whatever they were out there, now that they're in my house, they're mine. I'm going to treat them like my child. I'm going to feed them like my child. I'm going to protect them like my child. Because of how they humbled themselves when they came in, right? So we got to first understand that first, that we're in a unique place because of what we believe, right? We're children of God because of how we accepted Jesus Christ, which makes God have an ear to hear us, right? We're sons now. The Bible, somewhere in there, it says that we're grafted in. Remember, this relationship was first to the Jews. That he said, look, Abraham, your line, on down, I need to separate y'all so you can establish me in the world. But because of their traditions and stuff like that, and I'm going to talk about a little more of that real quick, because of their traditions and stuff, they got stuck thinking they were all that. Because God was it was their God. Not understanding that they belong to God. You understand? They more claim God as being there. So they kind of took dominance. But God was like, yo, wait a minute. No. Y'all not getting it. So I'm going to make a way for everybody, the Gentiles, all of us, to be able to get in this relationship. I said a lot of that, but I really want to talk about prayer. So somebody get me Psalms 34:15. We're going to run around some scriptures. And then I need somebody to give me John 9:28-33.
Is that safe, John?
Yes. Mm-hmm. John 9:28-33. Okay, hold on, but I want to hear Psalms first. Psalms 34:15. I just read you when I first came in. That was John 1:12. Okay, so I'm gonna try to speed it up. I'm gonna try to pick it up. But it's something I want to get us to get an understanding. I'm talking about prayer. And specifically, we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer a little bit. That's what I want to get into. That's what I've been dealing with. That's what's going to take me a while to get through. And I'm not going to get all the way through it. I'm going to do part of it. But I want to lay this out because I want you to get to understand really what kind of power we have. Right? Through prayer. That prayer is a gift that we got. I talked about it last week. I don't know if you were here. I got on a thing and I wanted to talk about it. I don't want us to squander the gift of prayer that we have. Honestly, I was a little disappointed. I got to get here early and it was empty. Thank God you guys were starting to lay down the fire, lay down the wood. But it's been so powerful all week. Okay, we all friends, right? So I'm talking about everybody else that's not here. You cannot tell me that you're praying at home when you're not here praying. You understand? I know some people might say, yeah, I am. But I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about everybody that's not here, right? Because I know we just don't hurt everybody's feelings. Because it's not only is it not natural. Not all of us wholly believe in it or totally believe. Excuse me. You understand what I mean? So that's why I want to put something in you today that maybe will help you along the way. And because we're the only ones here, we're going to be able to pass it on and help somebody else. Right? So in other words, if I'm practicing, how I would say practice, he had a certain skill set. We didn't like to practice. We're in a relationship. We're in a new dimension. It just said we're
new. We become sons of God. We're reborn. Y'all understand that? We become new creatures. How can I explain? It's like going to another country. You represent America, but now you're in another country. But you're still American. But let's say we're in Italy. So we don't speak the language. And okay, how about this? Italy is at war.
And they can't stand America.
But yeah, we're in Italy. So if you can get a concept, I mean, that's a strange way of stretching it. But we're reborn into a new life, a new dimension. But yet, we're living in the same place. Can you understand that? So now, all of a sudden, this is Italy. When you go to work, when you go to school, when you go to your neighborhood, where you used to be a part of that, you're not anymore. Right? But you have to still represent where you're from. And to do that, you got to still be connected.
I am going on a tangent. So what I want us, I just really want us to get to understand that the prayer number one is a privilege of us that believe. Sons and daughters. Just like I explained about my child. My child can get from me, has a communication with me. Look.
I'm all the way down here. I'm trying to stay here. Just like me has a dad, or anybody has a dad or mother. Because your child is so young, number one, you already lived a life. Number two, you love your child. You already know what the child needs. Am I right? Okay. Keep that in mind. Right?
All right. So who got, I was trying to stall for you guys. Who got up Psalms 34:15? 15. Got it?
Go to the next verse. Does the next verse say something about evil?
Yes. But the saints of the Lord is against the evil.
Okay, so did y'all hear that? So the first part, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ear, right? That's you because of your belief in Jesus. Not that you're righteous. But because that you profess Jesus Christ, we take on righteousness of Jesus.
Like I said, to make that real simple, that kid that comes in with my child says, this is my friend based on my love for her, my daughter, and what I put into my daughter, and what I believe my daughter will or won't do, right? Who she picks as a friend becomes my child based on her relationship. You got that? So the eyes of the Lord on everybody righteous. Not that any of us are righteous, but because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, we take on his righteousness. So when that kid comes in with me, I don't see that stranger. I see another daughter. You know, that looks just like my daughter. Amen. Because she's saying, yo, this is my friend. You got that? That's what I want you to get. So
that's why we can't squander the privilege of this prayer life. This is how it's coming. Based on what I first read. He empowers us to be sons. Sons meaning sons of God. That includes daughters. What they say sons. Right? And this one, the eyes are on the right thing. His ears inclined. But check it out. We were one, that evil one. Who he said, what? What did he say to that?
But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, who block out their name from the earth.
Okay. That's where we were, based on our disconnect. Right? Well, we got to understand, I like to bring that up because I don't want us to get so caught up in evil and not evil, and understand that we're talking about being for God or against God. So by nature, we were born into being against God. You got that? Am I too deep, John?
I just wanted to break it down. All right. Wanda, did you get John 9?
So it was St. John 9?
Yes, 9, 28 to 33. Chapter 9, verse 28 to 33. I'm going all the way around.
Ye yourself bear witness?
Say it again.
Would that be ye yourself bear me witness?
Is that 28? Mm-hmm. 9, 28?
Yeah, that's it.
Go ahead, keep going. Mm-hmm.
He that has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom standeth and heareth him. That's why I asked him to talk about faith. I just
No, nine. You're in the right one.
St. John,
chapter 9. 28:33.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
28:33. Yes. Then they revealed to him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that the God spake to Moses as they saw him. We know not from whence he is." Why hearing is a marvelous thing, yet you know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened my eyes. Verse 31, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we know that God heareth not flesh, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth.
Okay. You got it? I think that's enough. You got it? Did you hear what he's saying? God doesn't hear things. People don't like to hear that. They think God is God. He's God of everybody. God created everything. Yes, he's Lord of everybody, but not everybody is a child of God. Right? And if you're a sinner outside the will of God, he's not hearing your prayer. Unless it's from a broke and sincere heart. You understand that? So if you choose to be out and stay out, no. That's why I said to people that say, well, I pray. I'm going to pray about it. Sometimes you know they're hurt. You're like, you know what? Or you think you know they're hurt. You're like, what? All you can do is pray for them. That's all I can do. But we got to understand that before, our prayers could never be heard. What made the difference? The difference was your heart. You're broken, contrite spirit. That's what I want. Where is that? That's in Psalm somewhere. Psalm 51. Somebody give me Psalm 51. Let me get there real quick. Psalm 51. I'm just trying to lay bases, and I know I ain't got time for this, but we're going to get to a couple of these where I want to be. So you understand it. It said it right there. Sinner, God's not hearing your prayer. So you're saying, well, I thought we all were sinners. Yes, we are. But it's not only God's grace, but his mercy that gives an opportunity. His grace, I said it before, being the whole gospel life story for you to hear it and believe it. And you can accept the word, and then the transformation can come. And then God himself can make you a son or daughter. Anybody got that yet? Psalm 54? 51? 51:17. So listen. I'm going to start at 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Why? Because that's what he would do to the sinner man. You understand that? I'm talking about us trying to pray, and maybe I should have asked first, what do we think prayer is? Right? What do we think prayer is? Prayer is when we're trying to connect to God, right? Some kind of way. But I'm going to tell you something about that too, that Jesus told me. All right? So we know right now, if we think prayer is a connection to God, God is telling us right there that you as a sinner in your sinner state, just being separated from God, being away from me, not in my will, God's will, I'm not hearing you. Right? Just like I tried to explain to you, I know my kid in the street. I know my kid's voice. The rest of them I ain't paying attention to. Not that he may not hear you, but I ain't paying attention to them. They're not mine. But my child. That's what God is trying to get us to understand. Yes, I created everything. But no, I'm not paying attention to somebody who wants to be outside of my will. Right? So right here in this psalm, we're getting a lesson. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Steadfast. Something coming after you, constant, right? He said, do not cast me away from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. That's a whole different category. Because the Holy Spirit within us is what's kind of putting a stamp on us after we accepted Jesus Christ, right? Restore me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. We're going to hear that again later on. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. And this is David, obviously, telling his story. Now, 17, it says, let me go to 16 first. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. All right, so let me start right there. So this is the difference. I talked about old time and Abraham having an agreement with God, God's people, pulling them out. You're going to represent me in the world, right? But they got stuck, so God had to go beyond that, right? So listen to this part right here so you can get a glimpse of what I'm saying. 16. He says, for you do not desire the sacrifice, or else I would give it. Up to this point, David's history, or his ancestry, that's what they did. They gave sacrifice to God, right? That's how they cleansed themselves. But it turned out, they was doing the same thing over and over again, right? So their sacrifice really didn't mean nothing to God. That's what he's trying to say. So right here, I'm trying to tell you the ultimate sacrifice for God. So he said, sacrifice you don't desire, or else I would give it. He said, you do not delight in burnt offerings, because that's what they did, blood or burnt offerings, right? Everybody understand that? That's old school. That's what they did before the Israelites did. So 17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. So in case you're wondering how I get from an unheard sinner to a child of God who God hears, once we hear the word, that broken, contrite spirit that knows, you got to come into knowledge of who you are now. I know I sinned against you. I know I've been outside your will. But God, forgive me. That broken, contrary spirit causes your transformation. That's the sacrifice. That's what this is trying to say. And that's what I want us to get to, because we already come through that, right? In case you didn't know, now you know. But we already have come through that, so on the other end of that, what did we say? That now we have God's ear. Not only do we have God's ear, we have the privilege or the power to or the gift of prayer that we cannot squander. Right? So, in other words, we expect the sinner to suffer and die without God. So why are we over here saved, calling ourselves sanctified, reborn, new creature, broken and contrite spirit? Why are we suffering and dying, but we're in Christ? When the prayer life is what connects us, right? Sinners disconnected. I expect it. But I've been saved, transformed, renewed, believed, here, and I got a gift to pray. So you got $1 million. I said this before, I always say this. This is my line, I'm sorry. You got $1 million, but you're living on the street. You're not eating. And why? Because maybe I didn't lay out the cash for you, but I said, you know what? This card right here? So now if you never use it, even though you have it, you're going to suffer. That's all I'm trying to say, that we are not here anymore. We're reborn, granted and adopted into the family, but we're not living like this.
Right.
And we're not living like this because we're not getting connected. We get connected by the power of prayer, of which has been, they can't pray like that. But we can, right? That's why I said, last week, don't squander that gift, right? All right, somebody read John. You still got John? Go to John 6, 3, 7. And then I'm going to move on. The rest of it, I'm going to tell the story for. So when you get it, tell me, right? So that's connected to this sacrifice right here. So think about this in your Bible. Think about Cornelius. Cornelius, the Roman centurion, given by name, Pastor preached about him before. This dude had a change of heart, even though he was against Jesus. But he had a change of heart where, I believe, Peter was sent to go preach this. Because he said he got to get saved because he had a change of heart. Even though he was a soldier against the Christians, he had a change of heart. The dude on the cross, the thief on the cross. So, I don't know which one. But everybody knows it was the thief up there on the cross with Jesus, right?
Right.
Everybody know that same dude went to heaven, went to be with Jesus that same day when he died, right? Everybody know that?
Yeah, yeah.
By his change of heart, right? The broken contrite spirit. So John 6, somebody got it? John 6, 37? I told you I did this in a couple of days.
I'm trying to frame it all in.
Yeah. So if you're not keeping up, ask me a question. You got it?
6:37.
So y'all hear that? So did y'all hear that?
6:37.
Look at it, because that's something you need in your pocket. That's something you need in your pocket for you when you're in doubt. That's something you need in your pocket for people you come across who are in doubt. Right? Because once you tell them the story, just like I told you, and I didn't mean to confuse anybody, but I want you to understand where we're coming from. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. We were born into it. From the relationship, the contract, the breakup, we're Adam, right? Adam and God knew each other. God walked with Adam, right? The Bible, our Bible, says know him a lot or knew him. I got to dig up that Greek word, but the word is the same word for intimate relationship. You know what I mean? The same know, the same word is when they say Joe knew so-and-so. Joseph knew Mary. Or Joe did not know Mary. So how'd you say?
being intimate relationship. That same news is or no is when God talks of, when the Bible talks about certain characters in their relationship with God. That's how God wants us. Not just I believe, or not just, yeah, I heard about God. So we can't just say, I know God. Yeah, I know God. No, he's not saying that. He's saying, I know him, meaning I'm intimately involved with God. The same word that would be about passionate intimacy,
right,
is describing that relationship. If you can understand it, it's more than just know God. It's more than just
believing in God, right? So that's what I want y'all to get. So, how we going from center, outside, to end the relationship? But I'm trying to let us understand through these little examples, like that thief on the cross, that it can happen just like that if it's sincere, the broken, contrite spirit, right? Right then he said he heard Jesus' story on the cross and said, can I go with you? Like right now, yes, I just got convicted of crimes I just did. I didn't have time to do no good, but I believe. Right? Broken, contrite spirit, shift. I believe. I heard the word. In this case, he heard it right from Jesus. Right next to him. I believe. And Jesus told him right then. That's why 6:37 we just read. Father, whoever you put in my hand, there's no way I'm going to turn them away. Right? If they come to me, I got them. So that's what we tell our friends. But that's also what we got to put in our pocket so we understand the power of our prayer. And not just the power of our prayer. And I don't mean the power of our prayer. And that's why I got to hurry it up myself now because I got to get to this part. Not the power of my prayer, meaning what I pray for, I'm getting. It's the gift that the power to gift, or the gift that is the power. You understand? I know I'm all twisted, but I want you to understand it's not that I'm so blessed now that I can pray for rain to stop and it will. Right? It's not that I can pray for a sick family member to get better and they will. It's not that I pray over some numbers and I hit the lottery, right? It's not that kind of gift or power, but it's the power to be in relationship with God. The prayer is not. Let me get to where I'm gonna go right back to that. Let me get to where I want to be at. Everybody, turn to John, Matthew. I just want to change. I want to change your perspective on prayer. The pastor talks about it. Reverend John Curitan talks about it. But sometimes we don't stop and talk about it. See, we can talk about it because we understand it. You know what I'm saying? It's more than just an exercise. It's more than just me coming to get connected. Right? Everybody got it? Can you read 8 for me first? Well, yeah, read 8 for me first, and I'm going to stop. Go ahead.
8?
Yeah, 6:8, right?
He said 8. Then he said Matthew 8. I'm going
to read 6:8. All right. 6:8. Come on, we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. You should see the Lord's Prayer.
It's the Lord's Prayer.
Right? Yeah,
see right here.
All right, I'm fasting, and then we'll go right here. I'm going to start here. Okay?
Therefore, do not be like them. Your Father knows the things you have the need of before you ask him.
Okay. Go ahead. Well, read it first and then I'll go back. Go ahead. Go to 9.
In this manner, therefore, pray.
Okay. So listen. The disciples. Everybody know who the disciples are? This is Jesus' homeboy. They rolling with Jesus. They walking with Jesus. They seen Jesus do some stuff. They ask, how do we pray? Right? If we want to be connected to you, or connected, you say you're the Son of God, and we're following you, how do we get connected? How do we pray? That's how this started. That's how this conversation started.
what you call them? Pharisees and the Sadducees. They are the people, the Jewish people, who God's originally contract was with, who said, you are my people, right? That's them. They're walking around with the scrolls. The scrolls all the way back. They got scrolls of Moses, everybody. They got everybody's word, and they're walking around with it. And when they go to pray, they get up on the chair and say, hear ye, hear ye. I am so-and-so, scribe of the Lord. The Lord high in battle. The Lord mighty in, right? He said, don't be like them. Because they are dirty, grimy, and just like everybody else. They have sinned. They are over here. They are over here. That's why I said those people that say, oh, I prayed about it, I look at them funny. They are over here on the sinner side, disconnected from God. Yet, they were God's people. So that's what I'm saying. They took ownership of God, not realizing God owns them. You understand?
Right, right.
Okay, so that's what I want y'all to get. And so he said, don't be like them. Go ahead. So he says, in this manner, therefore pray. So, we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. Now, we look at the Lord's Prayer. We all heard the Lord's Prayer. We recite it. But guess what? This was an instructional piece, not a prayer. Right? Although you can pray it, but it was instruction. And I only got time to do a few, but I want to break it down for you. So, it's a breakdown. Because if this is Jesus saying, okay, since you want to know, this is how you got to pray. So I gave you all the background stuff. I said all of that to get to this stuff right here. So the very first thing he says is what? Our Father. Our Father. You already should have a light going off because I just talked about that. And I did that on purpose so we could understand. This is what he's trying to get at. Our Father. Read the first part of that. Read the eight again.
Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have a need of before you ask him.
So why should we pray? Right? Anybody got that question? If God is the Father of us, creator of it, why should we pray? He knows already what we want. So that should, you should be able to answer that yourself. Then that means, if nothing else, it's not about. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about the stuff that I was saying that we're praying for. It's not about getting those numbers for the lottery. It's not about paying my bills. It's not about my relationship with you. It's not about my child behavior, my child need good grades, my child safety, my house. It's not about none of that. Our Father. That's what he starts off with. Who's saying that? Jesus. So Jesus is saying, it's not even about me, Jesus. He's saying, our Father. Jesus being on the planet, Jesus that done miracles, Jesus that his boys, his 12 boys, saw the miracles. Jesus says, this is how you pray, our Father. Not even about me. Not even about me, Jesus. Not even about me, the one that's on the planet to die and pay for your sins. Jesus, everything he's been saying up to this point was always, my Father said. I do what my Father does. I do what my Father says. I say what my Father says. Our Father. So what's the significance of that? Number one, take the first word, our. 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 So, it's not only establishing a relationship, just like go back, rewind to those kids that come in my house. Now they come in the house with my, I'm going from their perspective now. I already showed you from dad's perspective. Now they come from my daughter's perspective in with my daughter to them in my house coming in with my daughter, I'm their father. Whatever, and so you got to understand, whatever they need, and not just father. I don't even want to get to father yet. I just want to get to the our part. because this child is coming in from somewhere else with her own background.
Uh-huh.
But when she comes in with my daughter into my house, whatever's here is ours now. She believes that because of what I've given her, because I empowered her. Remember that first scripture I read? Jesus empowered them to be sons. Right? Now I can say our. Our. And our extends from not just this church, but the next church, every believer. Jesus is trying to tell us that we're all connected. Not just we're all connected to how we pray. We're all, what is it? One body.
Right.
So everything I'm trying to tell you right now is to help you change the way you pray. So when you pray, think of that. Right? It's not about me. I'm praying. And as I'm praying, all of our prayers are going up. You understand that? That's why this is important. That's why it saddens the pastor when we have so few numbers here. Our prayers go up together. Right? You can't do that at home. And guess what? You can't get someplace at home, but if you're not practicing here, I guarantee you don't have the discipline to do it at home. That's what I was trying to say earlier. Right?
Amen.
And I'm not hurting your feelings because all of you are here. I'm talking about everybody else, all right? So let me keep that on the DL. Right? If you can't come here together, how are you disciplining yourself or believe enough to pray at home by yourself?
Amen.
That's what we have to get to, though. Our Father. So in that same token, let me go back to my young girl here. Coming in with my daughter, our Father. Now, I don't know about you guys, what kind of relationship you got with your father, with your parents. In this case, you didn't even say your mother. But if you can understand that kind of relationship, that's your go-to source. Right? That's what God got so many family-related issues in the Bible. Because we can relate to that. So to this point, when he's trying to press his boys, his 12 disciples, who grew up to be what? Who grew up to establish other churches. And what's the church? The body of Christ. So as they go out to establish a church, they're saying the same thing he just said. And what did he say? This is how you pray. Our Father. Because we got to understand that not only is he the one that birthed us, but he's protected. He's everything that a father is. Everybody knew the story of the prodigal son? They call it the prodigal son.
Yeah.
Right? That's where the guy was rich. He had two sons. And one of them was like, yo, I want mine now. Because he was going to inherit it at due time. But he's like, I want mine now. I want to go. I want to pack myself. And he went out and squandered all his stuff. But then he came to his senses. He realized, and he comes back.
Right.
We always look at the perspective of that dude. And sometimes we look at the perspective of the other brother who never left and got a little salty when they say, yo, why are you throwing him a party? I didn't even go. But do we ever stop to think about the Father? That Father, to me, represents God. That's God. And that's what we should call the prodigal father. Right? Because God, why? Because God had it all. It was God's stuff. It was the Father's stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
right?
And was that because, no disrespect to the other son, but this son just needed him more.
No way.
Am I saying that?
It's not just,
right?
It's not just, you could say he needed him more, but he needed him more because of what he did.
Right.
Right? So in that sense, and that's what I mean. That's why I'm saying it's the prodigal father, because the father went way beyond. Because if I have it, and you get in my face and you want it, then go. And if I say go, and you come back after you lost everything, that technically wasn't yours yet, it was mine. But what did he do?
He took him back.
Kissed him, first thing. Took him in. That's all of us. Why? Because we started over here, the sinner side. against God.
But he did apologize when he came back.
And do we not do that same thing when we come here and say, Lord, forgive me? But then we go right back over here and we say, Lord, forgive me. And then we go right back over here and we say, Lord, forgive me. That's what I'm saying. Our Father. This is Jesus saying it. This ain't me. Our Father. So understanding that he has that kind of love that he will take back. Right? But we got, but what I'm saying is, as we pray, let's understand it as we pray. It's not just God. It's God to other people. It's God to CNN. But to us that believe, he's our Father. Meaning everything, anything I need. Look, like the scripture said, he already knows.
He already knows.
When I go to children and do a prayer for Amir, I say our Father. And I do a prayer for Amir, but then it goes private. It goes to all the children in the university and all the people of all children's children, all the people at university.
But did you hear what I said from the very beginning? Don't be like them. Don't pray bitch because you know the word.
Right.
The Bible says, Psalm 51:17, broke, contrite spirit.
Of what? Not because your loved one is bad. Not because you're hurting. But because you understand what the Father has done for you. You understand his heartbreak over the relationship. That's why Jesus came. When did Jesus come? The word we say for that reconciliation, to reconcile, put back together the relationship.
Okay.
In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve walked. Adam, at first, was with God. With God. Walking and talking. How many of us get that now? None of us. That was then. Sin came in and destroyed that. Separated that. Ever since then, God is trying to put that back together. So you get to the point where God makes his own sacrifice because he taught the people how to give a sacrifice. But then like David said, I understand now. The sacrifice isn't worth it. The sacrifice don't matter. Your sacrifice that you want is that broke and contrite spirit. You want that deep realness about the relationship. Not because I'm going through, not because I got issues, but because I understand that you will get there. It'll be like a life where you understand the relationship is broken.
So not that I pray for all the children and children or university. It's about God and my relationship.
That's it.
He already knows.
That's it.
He, and that's
what I'm trying to say. We gotta understand that God already knows. God is everywhere, all the time, in every situation. He knows.
Amen.
When he wants. That's why I said the conversation. So I asked the question, but I didn't answer it. So the conversation, or the fact that he knows as a father what we need before we ask. So why pray? Because the prayer is not about the transfer of information. It's not about the transfer of information. The prayer is where you take the gift, number one, and acknowledge it. You humble yourself through that prayer. You understand? You humble that self. You humble yourself through the power. It's not even about the transfer of the information. So what will help is the next verse, and then I'm going to stop.
The next verse.
So he says, our Father, which art in heaven, he said, hallowed be thy name. So that adds to your peace right there. And that's what that helps you understand. So it's not about me. It's about God. Hallowed. Anybody know what hallowed means? What Halloween, if you look it up, which you did before, it means to revere or to glorify or to lift up. Like, and he says, hallowed be thy name. Like, if I could do that yelling again, if you think of, like, medieval times. Everybody know medieval times? And they had a squire come in. Or you had the, even better, you had the what's the guy on the horse with the long pole? Huh? The knight coming in to joust, right? He had the jouster come in. Like, so that was like a big-time competition. And this is just a small example. But where you had somebody noble or of power, there was somebody before you to call out all your attributes. Like, your name wasn't just Sharon. Your name was Sharon of West Philly, daughter of so-and-so, lady of, you know, the great seed, and all this stuff. You know what I mean? It was like all of that went with it. So Jesus is telling us that not only do we have to pray, understanding that God is our Father and our Father, but then it says, hallowed be thy name.
So giving him all the glory?
All the glory. That's not just giving him all the glory. That's proclaiming who he is. Not only over your life, but to everybody else. Right? That's why we pray. That's why we pray even about situations that we don't have a control over. But we understand it's his will. Which is the next verse, but I'm not even going there. I'm getting ready to stop. Right? We proclaim it. Lord. King of kings. Lord God, creator of everything. We give him all the glory. We hallow his name. Magnify his name. Revere his name. Right? So what I'm trying to say is that becomes not only how we pray, but it becomes how we live. See, we got to understand, Jesus said, this is how you do it, but what he's really saying is, live this way, and your prayer is automatic.
Amen.
You communicate it. You think you're doing it. It's automatic. It's constant. You know what I mean? When you acknowledge God, or you look at God as our Father, and you hallow his name for who he is. And then the next verse, and I'm stopping. The next verse, thy will be done.
Right?
It goes together. This is how you pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I magnify, I give you all the glory because you are God. And look, and then this is what I'm asking, but your will be done.
Amen. Yours.
I hope you got something. I just want you to change the way you look at your prayer. Right? Because it's a gift. It's a gift that you've been empowered to do. And Jesus told us how to magnify it. It is not, if you see it, it's not just the prayer. It's the way to live.
Right.
And once you live, you're a walking prayer. Questions. I can't go into any more.